This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on 92.9 FM or 680 AM. But don't forget about the Odyssey app, because you can stream anywhere, anytime, and you can listen on the Odyssey app. As long as you listen for an hour a day, you will be entered into the Slam Dunk in Vegas contest, which will grant you round-trip airfare, five-night stays at the Circa Resort in Las Vegas, plus $20,000 spending cash for you and three friends. It's pretty simple. All you have to do is listen for an hour a day, logged onto the Odyssey app, and you are entered to win. Dennis Fuller's producing the program for us. Glad that he is with us. My co-host today, as he is each and every Thursday on the program, he writes about college basketball and football for CBS Sports. You can follow him on Twitter, on X, at David W. Cobb. And on a trade deadline with some trade news, no less, Cobb, good day, sir.
Hey, good day. This is giving me flashbacks to 6 years ago when I was on the Grizzlies beat for the Mark Gasol trade and saw the trash bag next to his locker. That was the foreshadowing that he would be dealt.
Did that hurt
and
you inside?
It looks like, yeah, that was crazy. And then Mike Conley's just kind of hanging out like, am I getting dealt? Am I not getting dealt? And then I literally saw Jamichael Green like take his last shoot around shots in a Grizzlies warm up and then be jettisoned off. And here we are. It looks like there's actually some Grizzlies news, Jeffrey, here within the last 10 minutes or so, right as the deadline hits.
So this from just a moment ago from ESPN's Shams Charania. He reports that the Memphis Grizzlies are trading Marcus Smart and a 2025 first-round pick, so that's their first-round pick this year, to the Wizards in a multi-team trade that sends two second-round picks to Memphis. Memphis creates roster flexibility with the move. Bobby Marks then added to the previous report, as part of the trade, Sacramento is sending Alex Len, Colby Jones, and their 2028 second-round pick to Memphis for Jake LaRavia. So I guess let's kind of break it down. My first thought when I just saw Shams' tweet before the additional details was, there's got to be more to it. We did find out that indeed there was more to it. But, I mean, I think the simplest way to look at it is with Jake LaRavia, that deal made sense to me. You made the decision last year to not pick up his option. He was going to be a free agent this summer. You probably let him go. That helps with your crowding issue. All good there. I'm not saying I'm surprised to see Marcus Smart go. I am a little surprised to see it. Like, let's be clear. It feels like a roster dump move, a salary dump move.
Absolutely. That's what it is. You are basically paying another team to take Marcus Smart's salary off your hands so that you can have the freedom and flexibility to prioritize the in-house homegrown players that are on your roster, Jaren Jackson Jr. and Santi Aldama, right? So those are the two big ones that they got to figure out the contracts for. And you get rid of 20 mil on Marcus Smart, okay, now you know it's not a win now thing. It's a set us up for the future thing, and that's probably going to bother some Grizzlies fans. And I get it, right? Because it feels like, all right, we took a stab at Jimmy Butler. According to Bob Myers on ESPN today, they might have even taken a swing at Kevin Durant. Right?
See, it seemed like he was spilling state secrets.
And yeah, exactly. He was getting some side eye from his studio mates there because he just let that slip, and I'm not sure he was supposed to, but. At some point in time now, we're supposed to believe the Grizzlies were making a run at Kevin Durant. Like, so that suggests that at some point in the last couple of weeks or whenever, the Grizzlies front office was thinking all in on 25. Let's go win the title this year. And now all of a sudden, this is what you get at the deadline. It's basically begging somebody to take Marcus Smart off your hands. If there's a visceral reaction to this, I get it. But at the same time, I appreciate the concept of trying to prioritize the homegrown talent, because let's be real. If Jimmy Butler and Kevin Durant and the other NBA superstars are going to veto trades to Memphis and they don't want to play for the Grizzlies, well, then what path do you have to win an NBA title? It is to draft, sign, re-sign guys from within your franchise. And by trading Marcus Smart, if that allows them to re-sign Santi Aldama to the deal he deserves, then you know that's kind of what they got to do.
Yeah, I guess the first question that I had was, okay, this is clearly salary dump, but to what end? Because even, let's say Jaren makes third team All-NBA or better, and the Grizzlies are actually able to put an extension in front of him that he would sign. That still wouldn't kick in until the following year. Is this simply, like, are you moving all of this Marcus Smart money just to re-sign Santi?
For sure. So the Bobby,
I'm pulling up Spotrac to see. I don't know, how do you say it?
Spotrac.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know. I say Spotrac, but whatever. I'm pulling that up to see who would be due. Because is Vince due money? No, Vince.
Well, the key word is flexibility here, which is what the Grizzlies are getting. Like that is what you are receiving, because Alex Lynn is not a useful NBA player. Nor is Colby Jones. So you're getting two non-useful players who will, in all likelihood, never see the court for the Memphis Grizzlies.
I wonder if they'll ever see Memphis.
For sure. Like, well, they'll be waived in a matter of hours, I would imagine. Flexibility is what you're getting. That is not a tangible asset. Like, you cannot say, oh, well, we can use flexibility to take one of these stud freshmen in college basketball next season. No, you can't do that. You can't use flexibility to make yourself better in the short run for the 2025 chase. It's a forward-looking, future-thinking sort of thing where, the particulars of how the Jaren Jackson Jr. deal will be negotiated are complicated, and then you throw in the Santi Aldama thing on top of that. You know, you had to shed some salary to make that happen, and that's what's happening.
Yeah, because on the books for next season would be Ja, Dez, Jaren, Brandon Clark, John Conchar, Zach Edey, Jay Huff, Vince, Scotty, Gigi, Wells, and something named Zion Polan.
Hey, he saw the court for the first time the other night. So, Jeffrey, what will be your lasting memory, your favorite moment of the Marcus Smart tenure as a Memphis Grizzlies? We got 39 games of Marcus Smart in a Grizzlies uniform, including a fond farewell last night. 18 minutes played, 0 for 6 from the floor, one turnover, one foul, 2 assists. He was a +5 though. He was a +5.
He's playmaking. honestly, the first thing that comes to mind is, I interviewed him last year at Media Days. I was the guy that was down at FedEx Forum just kind of doing the car wash for the station. And he told the story about after getting traded, then his house flooded in Boston. Like, it was just like a nightmare, like trying to get kids in schools. Just like, it was kind of a reminder of, yeah, these guys do get millions and millions of dollars and no one's crying for them. It's a lot different if everyone else has that happen to them, but there was kind of like a reminder of like, oh yeah, these people go through S2. In terms of basketball, yeah. I think there was a Lakers game in there that was pretty fun, if I recall.
Yeah, there were a couple of moments, but no more than a couple. And to your point, now the human element of Marcus Smart is, hey, buddy, it didn't work out. Yeah, okay, think about this. He is an icon, I think that's fair to say, in Boston because of what he brought to that franchise during the Brad Stevens reign. And he gets traded away from his franchise the year before they win an NBA championship, right? He ends up in Memphis. Can't be healthy enough to see the floor in Memphis. Now he's gone from Boston to Memphis. I think, okay, like that's not an upgrade. Okay, it's not an upgrade if we're being honest. And now he's going from a Memphis team that, to its credit, is a Western Conference contender. Could have been fun. It wouldn't have been the same as him winning a title in Boston with his guys, but he could have had some fun with his group if he'd been healthy enough to contribute. Now he's going to Washington, right? So, I mean, gosh, that's brutal. That is brutal for Marcus Smart.
No, I'm with you entirely because you could have told me maybe like behind the scenes, Marcus said, you know, hey, if you trade me, I wouldn't, you know, it's not the end of the world. But I think getting traded to Washington is not what he had in mind. The first question I have is like, does Washington even want to play him? Because if you're Washington right now, aren't you just like, not that they haven't been already, but aren't you just strictly in tank mode?
Sure. So they're probably looking at him as a tradable asset this offseason because he's still got that next year remaining, that last year remaining on his contract at $20 million. I don't think the Wizards are going to be in a win now position next year to utilize a $20 million veteran. So unless he just wants to waste away.
That could be the story of the Washington Wizards. I don't think they're even in win now next year.
You know, their window's probably coming up here in the 2030s.
Yeah, no, listen, it's right around the corner.
Yeah, but then the other element of this now, which we knew was probably coming all along, is bidding farewell to Jake LaRavia. And it makes you wonder, doesn't it, right? Because you go back to, when was it, November? They had a choice to make on Jake LaRavia. And at the time, we hadn't seen like the good 24-25 version of Jake LaRavia, so they declined that contract option. So had they picked that up, you know, he's somebody that they could have re-signed on a franchise-friendly deal going forward. But he didn't really start to blossom and click and come into his own until after they had to make that decision. They declined that decision. So now all of a sudden he's on an expiring contract and he's going out the door now too. So, I mean, that's honestly from an on-court perspective, like, Jake LaRavia has been way more impactful to the Grizzlies this season than Marcus Smart. Do I think losing Jake LaRavia is catastrophic or really all that harmful? In the long run, probably not, because so long as they remain at least reasonably healthy, GG Jackson and Vince Williams are going to be ahead of Jake LaRavia in a rotation. But now you're saying farewell to him too, and he actually did, you know, kind of start to thrive, and you maybe wish you could have gotten something more for him, right? Because he's actually somebody who could go and be a useful player.
Yeah, I think there's several questions. So I say let's start with the Marcus Smart thing. And obviously we are acknowledging we don't have complete information. I still am unclear because now I'm seeing on Twitter we had Memphis Sports Now tweeted at us, Lynn and Colby are going to Washington.
Okay.
Okay, but...
Well, I mean, yeah. Goes so, to our point. They were never... I mean, they were
we,
never
we,
see,
not, yeah, not that know, we were whatever. Thinking that was... But there is also... What is the salary match? Like, there's got to be some type of salary match because the Grizzlies are sending Marcus and a pick. Like, so
right.
The, we seem to have incomplete information just from the transaction. We also don't, I feel like, have complete information of, I'm not super convinced that Marcus was, like, all the way healthy. I think we saw him play last night, and I kind of got the sense, like, healthy enough. But to me, the way that I just kind of look at this is, What necessitated doing this right now? Because on the surface, and you tell me if you think I'm wrong, and I'm fine admitting that, why couldn't they have done this summer?
You still have Marcus Smart could be something for you and contribute.
Right,
and
am I off base here?
You could have. I mean, you could have done it this summer, but then you completely punt on what was an expensive experiment, going out and getting Marcus Smart. Didn't they trade 2 first-round picks to get Marcus Smart?
They did trade two first-round picks. I think Matt Infield of WMC. Okay, so John Hollinger is tweeting, thanks to Drew Johnson who sent this in, no news yet, but Brogdon to Memphis would be the contract that fits all of this. That at least makes some sense because, like, we're talking about... We know that the Grizzlies are sending Marcus's contract and a pick. We saw other names that are involved that are going to Washington. There's got to be something coming back to the Grizzlies, right? Like I just...
Yeah, to make the money work, there would have to be. So Malcolm Brogdon is on an expiring deal. So here's what this could be. If it's Malcolm Brogdon, you are essentially matching Marcus Smart's salary. He's making 20. Brogdon's making 22.5. So that matches Marcus Smart, except Brogdon's on an expiring. So Brogdon won't be on the books for the Grizzlies next season. So there's your flexibility, right? Like, this is a missing piece. I'm not saying Malcolm Brogdon, I mean, he could actually be a useful player for you. He's been in the league for 7 or 8 years, a good defender, can play on or off the ball. Like, there's actually some, I would say, a fair amount of intrigue there in maybe what he could bring. He's a potential backup point guard option with a little more size than a Scottie Pippen Jr., right? So, like, if that's the case, if Malcolm Brogdon's coming in as part of this trade, one, the flexibility factor is real because he's not on the books next season. So there's right. Your flexibility. The matching salary is off the books as opposed to Marcus Smart, who was going to be on the books for next season as well. So it checks the box of flexibility. You got that. And, okay, like, I'm not opposed to the concept of Malcolm Brogdon finding a way to contribute to the Memphis Grizzlies for the reasons I mentioned. He's proven to be a quality NBA player over the years. And yeah, he kind of got jettisoned to Washington and whatnot. But
Portland first, like, then Washington.
Yeah, at one time, though, he was a promising young... actually, you know what? Yeah, he was the Rookie of the Year in 2017. It's funny, isn't it, how a lot of guys went Rookie of the Year and then you sort of never hear from him again?
Well, there were rumors of a Virginia guard.
Well, people, John Hollinger would know, right?
Like, well, I mean, like, everyone kind of thought it was going to be DeAndre Hunter, and now it's like, no, it's a Virginia guard, just a different one.
Yeah, for sure. So interesting. Interesting that, you know, that could be part of it, because then I wonder, do the Grizzlies look at Malcolm Brogdon as purely an expiring contract, or do they look at Malcolm Brogdon as somebody who could come in and play? If he is, in fact, a part of this deal, 13.1 points per game, 4 assists per game, 4 rebounds per game. And as I mentioned, he's a quality defender as well. So, plays for a bad team, but somebody who...
Yeah, I mean, if you bring Brogdon back, I'm at least interested. I guess where I'm coming from is... I don't understand the necessity to do this right now. I'd rather take the gamble and see what Marcus Smart could be the rest of the season and in the playoffs. Okay. And then if you make the decision, all right, this is not working out. I don't understand. This to me doesn't seem like the type of deal where you got something back. Like, for instance, if they were trying to get Jimmy Butler, I understand Jimmy Butler isn't available in the summer, and therefore I understand the necessity to do that. What I'm looking at, and again, I am admitting we don't have all the information. We don't know his health. We don't know what he asked through his agent. We have no idea. I am openly admitting that. I am looking at this just strictly from the transaction itself. I'm struggling to understand why today, because
so you're, what you're saying it, is it you wish
it doesn't seem like you got something back that was so we had to make this deal now. Why not just roll with it?
So what you're suggesting is that I thought you meant you wondered why the Grizzlies couldn't have made this move last offseason. You're saying why couldn't they have waited until this offseason?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, no, that's fair. That will be to be determined as the details get finalized, because sure, like, you could have still moved Marcus.
Oh my God, it continues. All right, here we go. You ready for it?
Let's go.
The Wizards are sending Marvin Bagley III to the Grizzlies as part of the deal. Sources tell ESPN, this is according to Shams Charania. Johnny Davis also sent to Memphis. So,
whoa.
I guess with Bagley, you get a little front court depth.
So no Brogdon. Brogdon's out?
I'm not seeing anything about Brogdon yet.
All right. I don't know if either of those guys are going to help you.
God's watching. Is Bagley playing?
He's played a little bit this year, but not much. So Bagley's making 12.5.
All right.
And then Johnny Davis.
Which Johnny Davis is this?
I think it's a former Wisconsin guy, right?
Okay, that's what I thought too. He's like 27 okay. in year two.
So I feel like he was Johnny at Davis
Wisconsin. I feel like he was at Wisconsin for like 8 years.
Yeah, he was a bucket there. Hadn't really worked out. Johnny Davis is making 5.3. Bagley's making 12.5. So I guess that's within the range of what matches Smart, who's over 20. It's got to be within a certain percentage. But I mean, and then you throw in these guys, Lynn and Jones, whatever. I don't know if they contribute to the matching numbers at all. That's actually less interesting to me. Johnny Davis and Marvin yeah. Bagley. That's less interesting than Malcolm Brogdon. Cause I was kind of excited about Brogdon. Cause I'm thinking, all right, like
we know his name.
He could be better than Pippen. Like, I don't know. I was talking myself into Brogdon. Now it's like, I don't know that Marvin Bagley is somebody who's actually useful at this level anymore.
In fairness though, now the Grizzlies fans that wanted Marvin Bagley in, was that the 2018 draft?
That was Jaren's draft, right. Wasn't it? Yeah, it was. Yeah.
You got both. You got Jaren and Marvin. Yeah. MB3, baby.
Yeah, he's played 19 games this season for Washington.
Sure.
Nah, he's it's been injuries and stuff for him.
His last game was in December.
I mean, he's never played more than, 48 games in an NBA regular season?
Are correct. He played 48 yeah. in 21-22.
He's a career 29% three-point shooter, so you're not getting the floor spacing from him. I mean, he is a body, so there's that. But no, so he and Johnny Davis are both off the books after this year as well. So, I mean, just to clarify, if indeed the Grizzlies have traded Marcus Smart for Johnny Davis
and MB3
and Marvin Bagley, yeah, you're not
three
getting
sticks.
Back players who are going to contribute. You're getting back that flexibility, which is the key word and kind of where we started this whole conversation.
Do you feel better today? I mean, obviously we are in real time and we're trying to process. I guess this is like gut rapid takes. Number one, this feels cheap to me. Like this feels like a move of, all right, let's make sure we're under that tax, okay? And again, I'm willing to be wrong. I'm just giving, these are straight, like pure gut takes. It feels cheap. I don't really understand the necessity of it. And I don't know if it necessarily makes them worse, but in a year in which Calkins looked this up, the Grizzlies are at 35-16 only once through 51 games. In the franchise's history, have they ever had a better start? And you're sitting here at second in the West. I just don't understand, like, how does this make you better? And, like, I'm not saying, oh, they should have gotten Durant or whatnot. To me, staying put was an option.
Yeah, it doesn't make them worse. You lose Jake LaRavia, you lose Marcus Smart, you're not. I don't think that makes you worse because of how deep you are. G.G. Jackson, Vince Williams, again, it's worth reiterating. These guys are coming back. Your rotation's going to get slimmed down in the playoffs anyway. So, yeah, there was a hope and a prayer, and at one time you thought Marcus Smart could be that bulldog defender for you on the ball against a Luka or whoever in the NBA playoffs. Absolutely. Like, that's kind of a hard thing to, like, grapple with, that the fact that they swung and they missed on Marcus Smart. And what you're seeing today is a resignation to that reality. And, hey, look, I think what Bob Myers said on ESPN did the Grizzlies front office a favor. Why? He mentions they tried to go after Kevin Durant. Well, there you go, Grizzlies fans. They tried. The Grizzlies tried. Like they tried to take that big swing and go all in.
And he also mentioned they tried to get Butler, which I think we kind of knew.
Sure. So like you took your home run swings. Jimmy Butler, Kevin Durant, both of those guys are potential NBA Finals, MVPs. Right?
We know they tried. We know they tried to make a deal for Dorian Finney-Smith.
So I don't think it's for a lack of trying. And here's what it comes down to for me, man.
All right.
Does Memphis's lack of appeal to NBA stars mean that the Grizzlies can never win an NBA title?
So I don't know if you can, maybe this is a cop out, and I'm sorry if I'm Giannottoing this. I think the answer is it depends. I think in this current era that we are in, I do not think that excludes you from winning a title, because what we have seen is that the talent has been spread out enough. There is not the super team Death Star that basically would eliminate you. If we're talking 2016, 2017, I would say yes, it applies. Now, this is the larger question that I have. How long does this era last? Because you can make the case, and I think this is probably where I side, you can make the case that as the LeBron era walks out, the stars clustering, which is what he basically brought to the league, that's probably dying, because it feels like the generation after that is not all that into the team up. Now, it just takes, like, that's the other thing. It's like, I don't know, are the Spurs quietly assembling a Death Star? Or
maybe
are the, like, I think it kind of depends on, like, what do you think of the Thunder? Because, but that's kind of the other thing with the Thunder. It's like, yeah, they got Hartenstein, but they they paid a lot to get Hartenstein, and they had the flexibility. But for the most part, it's not like they built their team through free agency. I mean, they make the move for SGA, but, like, so I think in a different world, it's more significant. In this world, I'm not as convinced that it is, because I also think that the stars wanting to cluster up kind of is going away as the LeBron, Durant, as that era walks out.
Well, see, to me, I look at the Memphis Grizzlies right now kind of like I see Penn State in college football. They have the tools and the ability to be perennially really, really good. And what they've done today ensures that they're going to have the core in place to remain really, really good for the years to come. The flexibility that you acquire today by dumping Marcus Smart's salary is going to help ensure that Ja Morant, Desmond Bain, Jaren Jackson Jr. stay together for years. Oh, yeah. Now you'll also have the flexibility to re-sign Santi Aldama, who's been one of the top breakout players in the NBA this season. You're going to be really, really good. But to be great, to win an NBA title, is there a missing piece that they are just simply unable to acquire? Because, like, look at Milwaukee. They're the closest thing to a small market franchise that's won an NBA title via the homegrown approach. They did it with Giannis Antetokounmpo, and it was only after they won an NBA title that they then became appealing to somebody like Damian Lillard. So the Grizzlies haven't won the NBA title yet. They're not attractive to these big name stars, and they're going to have to prove that they can do it from the homegrown approach like Milwaukee did if they're ever going to get that respect around the league, because you see Jimmy Butler and Kevin Durant say thanks, but no thanks. And it's always been the case that free agency is not a destination.
So, yeah, I guess though, so, like, let's take those two examples. So we knew, like, people can spin it however they want. The reality is Butler only went somewhere where he was going to get an extension. And the Warriors were basically like, we don't want to do that. But then the Warriors bit the bullet and they gave him basically, instead of giving him 4 years, but they gave him two and, like, what was it, $121 million? Which also, that's one of those ones where it's like, I need to see the fine print, because why would you give somebody 60-something million, but you would didn't want him to opt into a $52 million player option? So I felt like that number was heavily, heavily influenced by agents. And then with Durant, I can see it with Durant because, all right, I made the move to Arizona, and, like, it feels like Durant is, like, I don't know. I feel like he's kind of coasting right now. I'm not saying he's not competitive and that he's not trying to win, but it's like, I can see where he's like, I don't want to go spend the twilight of my career in Memphis.
Fair. Totally fair. Right. But it's not like this is the some Mark Ivoroni Grizzlies team either. I mean, you got one of the 10
No, I mean, I
the
think that's
right now,
that's a bigger question. Is it less about stars coming here, and is it more a reflection of what the stars think of the actual roster?
Yeah, I don't think it's because they don't like barbecue and blues. I think it's because the Grizzlies are kind of already established. They've created this mantra or this identity that might not be appealing to a star in their mid to late 30s to try to come in here and get along with Ja Morant, Desmond Bane, and Jaren Jackson Jr., right? So I'm not opposed to what happened here, because I am of the belief we've seen enough to know that the Grizzlies tried to make the home run swing. They tried to go all in for 2025 without being irresponsible, without being reckless. It didn't work out because the stars didn't want to come here, or maybe the numbers just weren't right, whatever reason. So they say, okay, we can't do the win now thing. We got to make sure we can remain good into the future. So how do we do that? we clear $20 million worth of cap from the books for next season and dealing Marcus Smart, and then we're able to ensure that Santi and Tripp are back. But, I mean, to your point, could they have waited to the offseason to do that? And then maybe a better deal materialized.
I saw some people saying they don't understand why I'm whining. And I'm sorry. You're going to have to forgive me, folks. I'm reacting in real time. My point is not that, like, I think this is dumb. Like, I don't think this is, like, a bad move. My point is it doesn't feel like this was the type of move to get something back that you're like, we need this right now. And it's not like you did right by Marcus and sending him, I guess someone else maybe could get involved, but I mean, we're at 2:30. So I just don't understand why you had to do this today. I almost feel like it was worth taking the shot because, listen, a big part of this is I'm looking at, all right, what else has happened in the West? All right, we've got Jimmy Butler being added to the Warriors. That's not the one that, like, really scares me. It depends what you think of Williams as a big, but now the Grizzlies have a legitimate question in this department. The Lakers now have Luka and LeBron, two guys that have oftentimes been tough for the Grizzlies to defend, and oftentimes when the Grizzlies have seen them in meaningful basketball, Dylan Brooks was on the team, and that was the assignment. How are you matching up with them now? Are you saying Jalen Wells go get one of them and Vince go get the other? Like, I don't know. I just felt like Marcus Smart gave you another option that was useful this season. I kind of view it in the same way that, remember when Kyle Anderson was on an expiring and Tyus, now granted they ended up re-signing Tyus, but at the deadline they made the decision, yes, we couldn't, these are expiring deals, we couldn't move this for something, but we think it adds value. The only way this makes sense to me is if the Grizzlies really do believe at this point Marcus Smart was not going to add any value. And maybe that's what they believed.
Well, a couple takeaways. One, to me, this signifies and ensures, for better or for worse, Luke Kennard is going to be a part of your playoff rotation. So there's one.
Yep.
And then, hey, Jeffrey, Jitty survived. John Conchar, still on the roster after the trade deadline. Can't get rid of that guy.
Jitty survived. And then, I mean, honestly, maybe the Grizzlies' answer to that is Vince Williams is going to do this. Gigi's like on track. But my biggest concern as we head toward the postseason is we now are in a situation where the Grizzlies are going to be heavily dependent on two rookies in Edie and in Wells. And Wells has been very good. I mean, it's entirely possible Wells is going to be the rookie of the year. And Edie, I think, is tracking positively. But then on top of that, you're also including Vince Williams, who has had injury concerns. And we've seen him be very good in non-meaningful basketball. And I thought last night, like, he looked rusty, but, like, you could still see it. But that's not a lot of experience that you're going into the fires of playoff basketball with.
I'll tell you the one thing that's a little irksome. Just a little irksome, right? Because I get it. You got to do what you got to do to ensure your future with JJJ and Santi. I don't love getting rid of a first-round pick, especially because I like this draft class. There's some pretty talented freshmen in this draft class, guys who you could get in the 20s who could develop into contributors for you. That's the one thing that I'm just like, I wish they could have found a way to do this, to offload that Smart salary without getting rid of a first, because you're basically paying to get rid of Marcus Smart.
All right, let's take a quick break. I believe, fingers crossed, obviously the Grizzlies were in Toronto last night. I believe Eric is going to join us. If not, we're going to get back into all this because obviously it's a big trade deadline day. We'll keep discussing it. Fingers crossed with Eric next right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
That music means we welcome to the program the Memphis Grizzlies Radio Network play-by-play announcer. He is Eric Hasseltine. Eric, it's been a busy deadline. I have no idea what you can and can't actually refer to, but the reports are that the Grizzlies are sending Marcus Smart and their 25 first-round pick to the Wizards. Returning would be Marvin Bagley III and Johnny Davis. Somehow, some way, also included in this deal, Jake LaRavia is moving to the Kings. I think Alex Lynn and Cobb, help me out. Was it Colby?
Colby Jones.
Colby Jones are also going to the Wizards. Is that right?
Close.
I guess this is my first question for you. Did you think last night was potentially the last time we'd see Marcus Smart in a Grizzlies uniform?
Well, in that respect, we had heard the rumblings. I had heard rumblings of a couple other potential landing spots for Marcus. And the simple fact is you need to condense is what people feel like is you got too many guys that do a lot of the same thing. So if this deal is what it appears to be or what people are reporting it to be, then you felt like with the defensive abilities maybe of Jalen Wells and Vince Williams coming back that you've got a lot of the same pieces. With the return of Gigi Jackson, you have multiple of the same pieces. So I do know that there was talk about maybe, you know, looking for rebounding help, size, things like that. So, you know, it came down to the final minutes. You know, at one point I'm thinking maybe they're not going to do anything. Maybe they're just going to say, hey, we're getting three guys back from injury. It's like getting three guys in a trade for nothing.
Honestly, when it was 157, and Cobb and I just gotten off the phone talking about what we were going to talk about on the show, Like, I was at the point where it's like, okay, they just didn't do anything, and then this happens, and you're just trying to process it in real time.
Yeah, it happened pretty fast. I mean, obviously, this is peanuts compared to some of the other deals that were made today. You know, look, Oklahoma City doesn't need to do much, so what do? They reportedly add Daniel Tice for basically nothing.
So happy for them.
Well, I mean, but it helps them.
Sure. You know, sadly.
They have a guy now that can come in and give them 10, 12 minutes down low and guard another big and keep Hartenstein or Holmgren, if he gets back healthy, out of foul trouble, you know? So, these things, it's been a weird day, I think. You know, I did not necessarily expect to see Atlanta do what they did.
Yeah.
Guys on NBA TV that I've been watching are just like, what is Atlanta doing? Like, why are they doing this? What's the end goal here for them? They don't even have a first round pick this year, so why are they dumping everybody? And then there's praise for teams like Charlotte that are just like, hey, this is what it is. We're going to just start acquiring picks a lot, like, you know, Oklahoma City did years ago. We're going to take some guys that need a chance to play, you know, like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander once upon a time did.
Yeah.
Where he can just basically be the guy or be one of the top guys. And obviously they didn't – there's no way they believed he would be what he is today, but they believed he could play. And so Charlotte is doing some of those same things and dealing out guys that are just not going to be part of your long-term future. And if they didn't feel, you know, like, you know, Mark Williams was the guy or Nick Richards were the guys, they're going to bring in a guy in Jusuf Nurkić that can help them get through the season and then add more guys. But they bring in a Dalton Connect who now can, you know, step in and play with, especially with the absence of Brandon Miller being out for the season. So it's been all those questions. And so now, look, when you look at it and break it down per reports, there's going to have to be additional things done. So the smoke is not clear. The dust is not settled. There's financial flexibility that if this is what is reported is happening can come your way. You've got big contracts in the offseason that you've got to negotiate. But you also have a team right now that's the hottest team in the NBA over the last 10 games at 9-1 that, you know, let's be honest. Toronto was 8-2. And then they lost to the Knicks in a very close game, and the Grizzlies caught them on the second night of a back-to-back and were able to just kind of wear them out and pull away. That game in the first half was not just a complete domination when the scoreboard's going to reflect that it was, because it was in the second half, and they just ran out of juice. But that's what this team can do, and that's the strength of it. Now, again, you just got deeper. Now you got guys that are, you know, not even touching the court that you may think, hey, in a playoff series, this guy may be more valuable than this guy. It's how they evaluated everything and how they evaluate moving forward. You knew the minute that they did not, if this again is indeed the case, that when they didn't opt in to Jake LaRavia's option year, that he was expendable, that's expendable. And then, so what do you get in return? I think it's wild if this part of the deal is true that Marvin Bagley's involved, that now you have a number two and number four picks of that draft, when a lot of people back then were thinking, well, what if Sacramento takes Jackson and this thing with Atlanta and Dallas, you're going to have Marvin Bagley fall into your laps. And people at the time, I remember being at the forum and people just salivating at that thought of possibly landing Marvin Bagley. It hasn't turned out that way for Marvin's career. But, you know, sometimes guys need a fresh start. They need a place to play. I've seen the guy in games look like, who's stopping this dude? Like, how is this guy not averaging 17, 18, 19 a night? But does he fit what you're doing right now? So who knows? You know,
And we had another Duke guy.
Come. Yeah. Well, you know, you can't. There's some people that believe, like my friend Kyle, that believe you can't have too many of those guys. So, you know, look, I it's hard to comment on it because nothing has been finalized, and, you know, who knows what happens when guys get in and they finalize these deals, or do they get finalized? I mean, they're talking about Jimmy Butler's going to fly up, take his physical, and then fly back down to L.A. because he's in L.A. right now. I guess he has a home there. I don't know. But just watching all the coverage, you're just like, wow.
According to Ron Olson, he has a home, I want to say, in San Diego, because Ron...
Jimmy does?
Yeah, Ron... somehow weirdly, I don't remember if it was his nephew,
maybe his nephew's a carpenter and built his wine cellar. But like that, Ron told me that story.
The man is a cornucopia. He is
just a national treasure.
It's I love Ron Olson to death. By the way, he is a wonderful human. When I'm not, that's not sarcasm. He's just always. It's just been so much fun. So you just, I mean, you don't know, and you know, the whole world was in uproar over the Luka Doncic trade and the return Dallas got, and the fact that they didn't reportedly shop him. And then you hear other perspectives of it. It's like, hey, if they shop him, does the value go down? Do the Lakers still make the same deal, or do they pull AD off the table? Does anybody even say, yeah, well, we'll give you this? And I'm like, well, they could have got this from Boston, or they could have got this from, you know, Philly, or they could have got this. And you're like, could they? Is that, and what if that's not who they wanted? What if they got exactly who they wanted? Whether that's right or wrong, those guys that make those decisions, that pull those triggers, are paid to make those decisions. And by the way, what was going on behind the scenes? Maybe they've kept it under wraps, that there's friction there. I mean, everybody going to the video of after winning the West of Luka having a beverage in his hand, which I think
cold
we
guy.
All assume we know what it is.
Cold guy for a hot guy.
Yeah, and just take it out of his hands, and just kind of the look on his face like, are you serious? Like, but maybe there was something said like, hey, knock that stuff off until we're done. Or maybe, hey, this is happening too much. I don't want it around the locker room. And they just didn't, you know, they didn't put those two and two together, so to speak. So again, you know, these are the things you go back to and you're like, okay, what really was going on? What was the tipping point? And if you're saying, hey, look, I'm going to hitch my wagon to this guy for 5 years at $70 million a year, and I don't believe he's going to put in the necessary work to build a championship caliber team around him, then you got to make that decision. Whether it's accurate or not, you're the one who will face the music afterwards. I don't necessarily agree with it. I tend to go along with Gabe Kuhn. That guy could have a glass of scotch, a Black and Mild, and you know, eating a cheeseburger from Whataburger.
Or In-N-Out. Did you see that news?
39-9. What's that?
We're getting In-N-Out. We're getting In-N-Out we are getting In-N-Out in like 4 to 5 In-N-Out locations, I think, within like the next year or 18 months.
I'm going to go on a very unpopular rant here. It's good.
The fries are bad.
I don't think it's, huh?
The fries are bad. The burger still holds up, man.
The burger is fantastic. It's a great fast food burger, but like people like going out of their way. That was when I was in school in L.A. Like, they were only in L.A. And then apparently the family had a little falling out and realized how much money they were leaving on the table. And in the end, the almighty dollar won out, and it spread all over the place. But, by the way, if you get a chance, Frank Isola and Brian Scalabrini's show, they have a caller who makes spoof calls. And he did it to My Name is Luka, the old 80s tune. Who lived on the second floor, and it's about Luka, and he references both Whataburger and In-N-Out. Mm-hmm. It was pretty funny, if you can catch it. But the whole point being, you don't know what the tipping point is. You just don't. And, you know, I jokingly said somewhere Chris Wallace was going, see, was my deal for Pau Gasol really that bad? Look what it led to in the end. Remember the backlash on that. And everybody, oh, my gosh, you could have gotten this and you could have gotten that. That trade led to the foundation of what the core four were. Not only did it give you Mark, it gave you the flexibility to get Zach Randolph, and then you sign Tony Allen, and you go along with Mike Conley, who, by the way, Mike Conley may get traded if Mark Gasol doesn't stand up in the GM's office and say, this is not a guy you trade, this is a guy you win with. And this guy loves the game, knows the game, don't make that move, and they passed on a deal to trade Mike Conley once upon a time. So these are the things that nobody always, you know, like the general public doesn't know. And so whatever Nico did and whatever he decided, look, man, that's what you're paid for. And if you don't do it well, you get held accountable. It's no different than if you give a coach a bunch of players and he asks for those players and then can't win. You're the first one to go. Now, where it does become a problem is if you start mixing and matching pieces that don't fit and then look at a coach and go, yeah, here you go. Win with this, and nothing comes together. It's like, all right, you're making dinner and you have 7 of the wrong ingredients. The dinner's not going to be very good. You know, the age-old Bill Parcells, they want you to cook the dinner, but they don't want you to buy the groceries. So, you know, I go back to what's happening here in Memphis. You've got, obviously, your three are locked in. You've got a guy coming off the bench who's having a career-type season in Santi Aldama. Luke Kennard has found his rhythm. You found a hidden gem in Jalen Wells. G.G. Jackson, now the last two games, looks like the guy that we thought he could be, which we expected it to take 6 to 10 games to get your legs underneath you, to understand the offense, to understand how it flows, because that's what we saw with all the guys in the beginning of the year. You were 3-3 at the beginning of the year with losses that we're looking back on now going, how did you lose that? They don't lose that now. But back then, you make mistakes. You turn it over too many times. So bringing pieces in, you've got to complement what you have. And if you're going to jettison pieces to open up opportunities to keep this roster as close to what the best version of it is, you got to make some moves. And they have a logjam. And the whole talk amongst everybody around the league is, boy, they're really good. They've just got to condense. They got a lot of pieces that can play that some aren't playing. Why not move them off, shed some cap if you can, and in the turn, you're not really weakening the team. So no matter what happens, you know, in terms of the end results of this, I don't think they got weaker. I don't necessarily know that they got significantly stronger, other than you now know the rotation. You don't have guys wondering if they're going to get in. You don't have a log jam and the feeling like, I got to play this guy to keep him fresh, and he's earned those opportunities. You give guys an opportunity, again, if this is all true, like a Jake, to go to a Sacramento where maybe he becomes their 7th or 8th guy in the rotation, or, you know, where he can then hit the free agent market and get the money that he can possibly make. And for Marcus, a chance to, you know, let's be frank and honest about it. If this is true and Marcus is going where they report him to go, you don't think he's staying there the rest of the year. That buyout probably happens and he goes somewhere that needs a contender. Maybe that's a Miami. Maybe Miami does something and they, you know, they were trying to, you know, get below that apron with some of the moves they made. Maybe they do something else in that term. I don't know. You know, I don't know. Maybe it is a team that can only do 10-day contracts to get to the minimum number of players. I was hearing Amin El-Hassan talk about that. There's going to be guys like that. So it's going to be interesting. This is far from over, is my point, and it's a long one, and I apologize. But I think we're just scratching the surface on what's going to happen, and you're going to see some faces go to teams where the people will go up in arms. Oh my gosh, this is devastating to the chances of X, Y, and Z team, because now this team has all these guys. They still have to learn how to play together. They just do, and it's not always the team that adds the big guy off the waiver market that makes the move. It's the team that has the most chemistry and can unite on the floor, stay healthy, and play a style that they're familiar with. And it's not always the team that adds one big piece in a trade deadline deal or a waiver market deal. So it'll be interesting to watch.
Yeah, so the flexibility that the Grizzlies get here is what's key. And that's not sexy, right? Like, you want a first-round pick on deadline day. You want somebody who you can envision coming in to contribute in your playoff run. Like, that's what we all want. That's what makes the trade deadline exciting. But the Grizzlies, by all accounts, took some swings. They didn't hit. They didn't want to overpay. And now what you're seeing is them getting the flexibility to reap the rewards of how well they have drafted over the years. And I think that probably needs to be underscored here. And perhaps the inclusion of Marvin Bagley in this deal kind of does that, right? Because he's not going to do anything for you. And it just underscores how you nailed that draft. When people weren't excited about Jaren, well, that's who you ended up with. And now he's your best player. So I think that fans have to realize that as players progress, the price goes up, and you have to have that flexibility to be able to keep them. And that is, it's not attractive maybe on deadline day, but it's what the Grizzlies have accomplished here.
Well, first of all, I will go with this. You're 100% spot on. I've heard multiple people, personnel, coaches, front office people that I've spoken to, say similar things about the Grizzlies in their drafting. They're like, how do you guys keep getting these guys? Second round guys, G.G. Jackson's, Jalen Wells's, finding guys in the G League, Scottie Pippen Jr., who's contributing in a big way. I mean, he is, you don't win that game in Milwaukee without Scottie's fourth quarter. And that's a game on the road in Milwaukee against a Bucks team that was turning a corner. And, you know, here's a guy that was not playing. And, you know, you find a Jay Huff. He helps you win games. There, people like have done nothing but praise that front office for finding hidden gems. And let's be honest, they have missed. And we've talked about this, Todd, before you were part of this every week, Jeffrey and I have talked about this multiple times where, hey, you're going to miss on some. You're going to have some David Roddies that don't always work out. A Jake LaRavia, apparently, that didn't quite work out. Wasn't a terrible decision. It just didn't work. It wasn't like you might have passed on someone that maybe is producing better, but you don't also know that person's going to produce what they're doing in their respective situation for you. Taking point, Draymond Green is not Draymond Green as we talk about him if he's with teams other than the Golden State Warriors. It was the absolute picture-perfect fit for him when Steve Kerr changed that offense. So you have that. And, you know, I beg to differ a little bit. I know to fans, flexibility may not seem sexy. I think flexibility is incredibly sexy. Why? Because it gives you opportunities. And, you know, we were joking about that for years back in the day when the former owner, rest his soul, Michael Heisley, said, give me 3 years and I will build a team back up, but just be patient. And every deal was about flexibility. It was about leverage. And that's what was like, the Grizzlies got flexibility back in. Great. We got another one. I mean, I remember the names. I remember the players. And they were talking about this today again. Listen to all the coverage, you guys, and then flipping to the national stuff about fans going like, well, so what's going to happen like with this guy going to Toronto and then going to New Orleans? Does he fly there and then have to fly to New Orleans? Is he just on a plane all day? No, they're sitting at home basically saying, when the dust settles, tell me where I'm going.
Right.
Case in point, Aaron McKee was once upon a time traded to the Grizzlies. We had a jersey for him. He actually showed up one day because he might play. Chris Mim never came. Steve Francis never came. Multiple guys you acquired in those years where you got cap flexibility, where teams said, hey, take this contract because we can't waive them because they're banged up or they're injured or on the injured list back then. We're going to pay you cash. We're basically going to pay your part of what you owe them plus some extra cash, and the insurance covers the rest type thing. And so people are like,
hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Hear some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.